What's up, Sixers fans? Welcome back to the Sixers Talk podcast presented to you by Wilmington University, Wilmu Works. I'm Ben Berry. I'm joined by the one, the only, the living legend, Noah Levick. Noah, how are you doing today?
Hey, Ben. Doing all right. Yeah, back to some action for Sixers basketball, which is always fun.
Now, action Noah's talking about is the NBA draft, which happened Thursday night. There was a lot of eyes watching some big trades. People were expecting Ben Simmons to be traded. That didn't happen. We'll get into that later, as well as free agency, which is coming up. But we'll start off with the NBA draft. The Sixers' first-round pick was Jaden Springer. They took him at 28th. He's a young guard. What do you know about Jaden Springer?
Yeah, like you said, very young, won't turn 19 until September. I think he has a lot of really appealing defensive tools, decent steal and block rates in college, and just the on-ball defense I think is impressive in terms of the lateral movement. Strong kid, was 6'3 without shoes, around 200 pounds. At the combine. So Daryl Morey said they think the upside is really attractive. This is a top high school prospect who was productive in college, you know, 12.5 points, 3.5 rebounds, 2.9 assists per game. And they think he has the potential to become a really good NBA player. So I think the potential is a big part of the draw. But also, if he doesn't pan out to this really high ceiling they think he has, it seems like the tools are there to be an NBA contributor. I think the jump shot, though the numbers are good, you know, he was 43.5% from three in college, 81% from the foul line. That's a question. I mean, honestly, his weight transfer and rhythm on the jump shot is a little quirky and weird, and it takes him a while to release the ball on the jumper, and the success came on a low volume. So Sixers fans should not be worried in the sense that this guy has a broke shot or didn't make jumpers in college, but that's an area where the Sixers hope he can develop over time. And I think that could end up being a swing skill for him in the NBA. Obviously, if the vision is 3-and-D guy, you got to be able to make threes. So we shall see what he's able to do on that front. But at number 28, I think it's a pick that made a lot of sense in terms of just taking a swing on a guy that you think can be a really strong player down the line. And that's what Daryl Morey and the Sixers did at number 28.
Yeah, the number 28th pick for the Sixers definitely was best available pick. The kid looks like he can play. I didn't watch much college basketball, but from the highlights I did see and a little bit of analysis that I read was that he's a great perimeter defender. He has a good basketball IQ already. Shot at a good clip in college, but there is also room for improvement, as you mentioned earlier. My takeaway was that even if he doesn't pan out to be as good as Daryl Morey thinks he could be, he will be a solid NBA contributor. And we know how Doc Rivers feels about playing rookies the first year, but maybe he can lead that second unit, bring some calm to it. And it's another ball handler, another creator, and they have Tyrese Maxey and Shake Milton. And there's a lot of people there off the bench already, George Hill. So I'm interested to see how all of that plays out. I would grade it a B with my limited knowledge, but I like the pick. The next two picks in the second round were, to me, complete Joel Embiid, like insurance for when he is injured or out of game or when he's just not on the floor, having big men that can contribute and not for everything to fall apart. Last season, Dwight Howard had a great rebounding rate, but he didn't fit well with Ben Simmons on the floor. And when he was on the floor, 9 times out of 10, it just did not work out all that well for the Sixers. What were your takes from the 2 second-round picks?
Indeed, yeah, I thought it was really interesting. Daryl Morey, in his post-draft press conference, he said, basically, if we're taking a big guy, he's got to be either switchable defensively or able to shoot. So those are two boxes that Dwight Howard did not check. And as you said, Dwight Howard's still a decent NBA player because he scores inside and rebounds at such a high level. But the reality is he's not in the mold of the traditional NBA big man. And these two big guys they drafted, Philip Petrušev and Charles Bassey, are a little more like that. Both have really interesting backstories. Petrušev, 2 years at Gonzaga, and then he actually went back overseas to his home country of Serbia, was the MVP of the Adriatic League, and improved his three-point shooting, was at a 42% clip from long range, which is a really eye-catching number and suggests there's some stretch five potential there. Also a guy who looks comfortable on the interior, though he's not super strong or imposing physically, but definitely has some skill inside offensively. And then Bassey has, in some ways, a similar background to Joel Embiid. Born in Lagos, Nigeria, played soccer as a kid, didn't begin playing basketball until he was discovered as a 12-year-old, then came over to the States, top high school prospect. I think as a developmental guy, Bassey is another where you figure, well, he hasn't been playing hoops for that long, so perhaps there is some untapped potential there. He had a very serious injury in 2019 in college, a tibial plateau fracture in his left leg that fortunately for him, he recovered from and was really productive. The Conference USA Player of the Year as a junior, almost 18 and 12 rebounds a game, over three blocks a game. So super productive, albeit, you know, not one of the top conferences in college basketball. But it was certainly interesting to me that they decided to use both of their second rounders on big men. I mean, I think it shows that they're fully aware that that's a current weakness as far as depth. In my mind, it doesn't necessarily mean this is the, you know, only depth they take into next season, but it's an acknowledgement of look in terms of our system, this is an area where we could stand to get better. And that's kind of the direction they chose to take. Worth noting also that 53rd pick, they actually acquired early in the day. They bought for $2 million. So credit to the Sixers for buying a pick, where in years past they were more sellers on that front. And, you know, I figured 50 and 53, two picks close together, maybe they use those to try to move up or use in a trade. And I was actually told just the whole idea of buying the pick was just increase optionality, put some of those options on the table. But the path they took was taking two big men. So really intriguing. Petrušev, Morey basically said he's going to be a stash guy. Bassey, you would expect to see him perhaps as a two-way option or someone who will at least, you know, be here in the States and playing for the Sixers this season, albeit maybe not as a regular backup center or anything along those lines.
Yeah, when Morey and the Sixers got the 53rd pick, I thought it was the move up in the draft. So I thought I was prepared for more win now moves. All these are not saying that the Sixers aren't trying to win now, but it's building towards the future, which I think brings us up to our next topic, which was the big trade we were waiting to happen. So we'll come back from this quick commercial break with that.
Ready to make a move? A Wilmington University education can take you where you want to go. WilmU works online or in person. Learn more at wilmu.edu.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
So, Noah, if there's a hammer we're waiting to drop. There was a big trade on draft night. Didn't deal with the Sixers. It was the Russell Westbrook being sent out to the Los Angeles Lakers, which the news kind of came out right before the draft, and it was finalized within the first, five picks. So Sixers fans were just sitting, waiting for what's going to happen with Ben Simmons. Over the last couple of days, reports have come out detailing the asking price the Sixers have. Do you think that's the holdup? Is the Sixers price too high? Or are they just waiting for the right team to bite? What's your takeaway from the reports of what the Sixers are asking for Ben Simmons?
Yeah, probably both of those factors are relevant. Clearly, the reported asking price, some of what's leaking out there, is quite high. But in my mind, there's no reason it should be especially low, given, as we've said before, they're not obligated to trade Ben Simmons and accept a lesser offer, and especially given the way things have been unfolding with Damian Lillard and the potential that maybe things take a turn for the worse there from the Portland perspective. The Sixers' patience, makes a lot of sense on their end, just waiting to see how that unfolds. So, yeah, really, I think I understand the expectations that Ben Simmons might not be a Sixer anymore once last night was wrapped up, but they still got a lot of time to make something happen before the season if that's the path they want to take. And going into next season with him on the roster, though it doesn't sound palatable to a lot of fans, I'm not so sure it's a doomsday scenario necessarily. I think ultimately this is something that we'll be best able to judge how Daryl Morey's played it once it's all over. Like, if his patience results in them landing a star player for Ben Simmons, then obviously he's done his job here very well. If he's been a little too picky and a little too cute, if you will, in how he's dealt with the whole situation, and they bring Ben Simmons back and that doesn't work well, then obviously he's subject to criticism. But for me, it's just a little bit too early to say. And I think we know he's an aggressive executive, so I don't think really it's fair to criticize him for not pulling the trigger until we see what triggers he has to pull. And we'll learn a lot more about that in the coming days and potentially coming months.
I know a lot of people went into the draft thinking that Ben would be dealt by the end of the night. I wasn't 100% certain on that. However, I never thought the Sixers were asked for like 4 first-round draft picks and 3 first-round draft swaps from the San Antonio Spurs, or the 7th and 14th pick from the Golden State Warriors, plus Wiggins and Wiseman. And then whatever they asked for Toronto, their asking price is steep. And Ben Simmons is a young player. He's only 24, 4 years left on his contract, a 2-time all-defensive player, runner-up and defensive player of the year. Like, there's definitely a lot of value there, regardless how fans, you or I or Danny, whoever's been on this podcast, feels after the playoffs this year. But man, that asking price is high. I thought it was a typo when I first read it. I didn't think it was accurate. But apparently that's what Daryl Morey and the Sixers want. So to me, it seems like the play is, if we'll put it out there, if someone offers or agrees to something ridiculous, we'll trade them. But unless Damian Lillard or Bradley Beal become available where they say it, Ben is probably returning, at least for the start of the season. That was my takeaway from hearing these asking prices and the reports of teams turning them down.
Possibly, yeah. I mean, I think it's worth just contextualizing it. And there's inevitably, especially when you're talking about a multi-time all-star player, some back and forth with these negotiations. Like the initial asking price, oftentimes it does have to come down a little bit in order for a deal to be feasible. And in my mind, that doesn't mean Morey is wrong for, as you say, having an initially high, steep asking price. But I think it is a fair point that if it's this high right now, and of course, Ben Simmons isn't going to play any more basketball until, you know, training camp starts in September, what would warrant it going down much further, right? So outside of just something creative with a new offer on the table, or looking at a different player, or looking for a different package for another team, I do think you have to wonder what is going to meaningfully change here outside of, you know, free agency is coming up, so that will change the complexion of the league in terms of what rosters look like and what teams are seeking and all of that. And, you know, that will be another period where you'd imagine a lot of negotiating will take place. But yeah, the whole initial vibe perhaps of there's no way Ben Simmons starts the season as a Sixer, a training camp, after seeing how last night unfolded. It looks, you know, that's something that maybe you don't buy quite as much.
Completely agree with you. You mentioned on it right after we come back from commercial break. We'll talk about free agency.
Ready to make a move? A Wilmington University education can take you where you want to go. WilmU works online or in person. Learn more at wilmu.edu.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait till you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the "no animals were harmed" message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Noah, now with the draft over, free agency starts soon. August 2nd, teams can start to negotiate. August 6th at 12:01 a.m., free agents can sign on a dotted line. So free agency, it is right around the corner. I'm not sure if I'm expecting big splashes or not. I do think, at least from the Sixers, I am intrigued to see what moves they make since they have several free agents of their own and figure out, I think after the draft, I don't think the likelihood of Dwight Howard coming back is all that high, but you still got Danny Green, moves like that. What do you expect the Sixers to do when free agency begins?
Yeah, I guess it's not an especially bold take, but unlike last year, I would think the odds are probably decent that they use their mid-level exception, the taxpayer mid-level, for about $5.9 million in dollars. Last year, Morey used a small chunk of that to sign Isaiah Joe. I guess theoretically, he could do something similar to ink one of these two second round big men we talked about, but I would expect him to use that money and maybe be less inclined to enter the season with the idea that that's an option that will come in handy, because he never saw fit to use it last year. And frankly, that option kind of went to waste. We've seen Morey, like Sam Hinkie, is very big on flexibility and optionality, which I think is great. It, for the most part, I think that's a smart way to run an NBA team, but you want to make sure you actually do use the best options at your disposal. So I know we've talked in previous podcasts about guys who might make sense with that taxpayer mid-level. You could theoretically be looking at a shooter of a Doug McDermott sort of type. You could also maybe be looking at a big man. I know Kelly Olynyk is a name we raised in the past. So you would figure that that will certainly be something to watch with the Sixers. As far as the in-house guys, I'm with you in thinking Dwight Howard certainly won't be back here if it's for any more than the vet minimum. And even that, I think there's reasons to be skeptical that he would return, although he loved Philadelphia, the team loved him. So at least outside of the on-court stuff, and even really just outside of the postseason performance, there were positives, but I certainly would not be a surprise if he moves elsewhere. Mike Scott, we're all expecting him to not be a Sixer next season. And then the other two unrestricted free agents are really fascinating, Korkmaz and Green. Green, I think some of this buzz about the Sixers having interest in a Kyle Lowry sign and trade, a lot of that obviously is closely linked with Green. If you do a sign and trade, you're hard capped, and then that means your ability to sign Danny Green to the type of contract he's expecting doesn't really exist anymore. So I think those things are linked, and I'm interested to see how that all unfolds. And then Korkmaz, you have a hunch that there's some team out there that's willing to pay him a lot of money and that sees him as a promising young shooter with some upside still in the NBA. The Sixers, you know, are in that same boat, but I'm not so sure they'll be that team. So my gut feel there is that of Korkmaz and Green, one of the two was back and one of the two starts next year on a new team, but a lot of big decisions to make. And I think it's probably safe to expect that Morey and the Sixers will at least be more active in free agency than last offseason, where Howard was actually the only move. I would expect a few more signings than that this time around.
It'll be interesting to watch it all play out. Danny Green, Furkan, all of it. But that's all we have for you now. This was this. Actually, before we get out of here, Noah, what are you working on the website?
Yeah, so, you know, late last night, we have our stories on these draft picks, just what to know about these guys. We'll have a piece later today, kind of looking at Morey's rationale for why, unlike with the Rockets, he has stayed at his first round pick and actually used it. It's interesting, his previous first round pick before the Sixers was Sam Dekker way back in 2015. So yeah, it's been quite a while. So I'll have a story on that coming up. And then I believe we are expecting to talk with a couple of the Sixers picks on Saturday. So looking forward to talking with those guys and writing a little bit more about some of the new guys in the Sixers system.
Sounds fun. Sounds exciting. You can check it out at NBCSportsPhiladelphia.com. Follow Noah on Twitter at Noah Levitt. Hey, Noah Levitt, thank you for joining me on the Sixers Talk podcast presented to you by Wilmington University. I'm Ben Berry for Denny Palmels, who's somewhere on vacation. We'll catch you next time.